our Lord's reaction to this crowd who didn't know what to do, hadn't really understood about the Father or about the Father's plan. And so his heart was moved with compassion. They translated pity here. The word in Greek is splanchnizome, which means to feel it in your splanchna, in your guts. And so the word is not pity. See, pity looks to the need. Compassion looks to the person. And this is compassion. You know, I mean, if a bunch of people are hungry, you buy them a bunch of sandwiches, you've looked after their need. But if you talk to them, love them, then give them some sandwiches, you see, it's different. And so it's nice to be a do-gooder, but it's better to come out of Christ's compassion, whether you're teaching or preaching or feeding. Now, so it's an unfortunate word because of its resonances in English. See, he began to have compassion. And so his reaction was to teach. Now, this is very interesting because Matthew, in the exact place, recording the exact same event, and his heart was moved with pity, and he began to feed them. This is the introduction to the multiplication of the loaves. It's very interesting, isn't it? Mark, he taught them. Now, we have the final wording, the final passage from the letter to the Hebrews. Then we'll start for a little while. We only have a few days next week, and then it's going to be Ash Wednesday. So we don't have time to start a whole new series of readings. There'll be a couple from Genesis, and then we'll be in Ash Wednesday and Lent. What do you know about that? And then all those readings have been planned. Well, the schema we follow has been adapted, but it really comes from about the 8th century. So these final words from the Holy Spirit that we read in the letter to the Hebrews, you see, through Jesus, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. Zebach Todah. It's a sacrifice of praise, but it's also a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Todah means thanksgiving. In modern Hebrew, somebody does you a favor, you say, Todah Rabah, thank you very much. But it's gratitude is the motive, you see. And that is, it comes from lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. That's important. Share what you have. God is pleased by sacrifices of that kind. Obey your leaders and defer to them, for they keep watch over you and will have to give an account. When Donald World dies, the Lord is going to ask him, how did you take care of my church in Washington? And not just my church. He's responsible for all the Christians in Washington. It's just a sad tragedy that we're not one. But he has a responsibility for them nevertheless. So let him fulfill their task with joy and not sorrow. For that would be of no advantage to you either. And then, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, and he brought that shepherd up by the blood of the eternal covenant. Now, what does that mean? When you read, do you get stuck on texts like that? What does it mean that he brought him up by the blood of the eternal covenant? You see, whose blood is that? It's Jesus's, obviously. And that's an eternal covenant. There'll never be another one. But the source of that covenant, the linchpin of that covenant, is Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, God honors that covenant by raising him from the dead. You see? And may this God furnish you with all that is good, that you may do his will. This is beautiful wording, isn't it? You want to do God's will? Go to God and find out, and he will give you all that you need in order to do his will. You see? May he carry out in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, that's sort of quietism, isn't it? No. I mean, God wants to do his will in you. And we don't want it. If we were totally surrendered to God, God could make us saints by Tuesday, because we would be doing his will. And he enables us. It's God in us doing his will. And there's great profundity there, huh? Jesus living in us. If we will surrender to him, get rid of our ego, get rid of our sensuality, get rid of our own little plans for how we're going to serve God and be very holy and all the rest, and surrender, then Jesus Christ himself will be our holiness, and he will work in us, and he will do whatever the Lord wants, the Father wants, you see? But that means surrendering our autonomy. And if there's one thing we won't do, it's that. We're so dumb. We think we can really do a better job with our life. There's a phrase going around, it was begun by John Paul II, actually. A new and divine holiness. There's a discovery at a deeper level in the church, written about, lived about by maybe 10 or 12 of the recently canonized saints. It is yielding to Jesus Christ, living his life in us. And the heart of that is the agony in the garden. Yielding to the Father's will. And it's a new and divine holiness, it's called. It's Jesus. Just what is said is here, you see. May he carry out in you what is pleasing to him. May he, the Father, carry out in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. But that may not be what we want. Might be a little hard in my ego, hard in my pocketbook, and so I just as soon do God's will my way. But if we'll little by little get over this terrible fright, this terrible drive for self-preservation, and yield to the Lord Christ in us, you see, we can be holy. We can be saints. And so all the ups and downs of life are actually meant to bring us to the place where we finally yield to the work of Jesus Christ in us. And there are many. Oh, there's a book upstairs I've got called, I think it's called The New and Divine Holiness. I forgot the name of the book right now. But list 10 or 12 recent saints who have lived this reality, which involves suffering, but it's knowing that the Lord Christ is in us, doing his will in us, and we are yielding to it. No matter what the price, we're yielding to it. It's amazing. As life goes on, I bet I read that line, I don't know, 300 times, 500 times in my life. Because I teach this stuff, you know. And only lately has the full impact of what that line is saying come to me. You see? May He carry out in you. See, that's the Father, the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. You see? Furnish you with all that is good, that you may do His will. May He carry out in you what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The secret of holiness is right there.